This is Things I Need to Learn in Life I Didn't Learn in School, covering everything we should know as adults that got glossed over in our classrooms. With your host, Wave News anchor, Dawn G.
Thank you for joining me for Things I Need to Learn in Life I Didn't Learn in School. I'm Dawn G., the host of this podcast. I love doing it because every week I literally learn things I need to learn in life. I didn't learn them in school, but you never know when you'll need them. Jason Hunt is joining me today. I had the pleasure of sitting at my desk and, I don't know, just thinking of things. Like, I've been thinking about this for the last few years. I think, honestly, it's because of COVID. But Jason Hunt, do I call you a survivalist?
Sure, you can call me a survivalist.
Absolutely. Because that's what you do. You teach it.
Yes.
You know it, and you could survive. Like, if I dropped you off anywhere, could you survive?
For a while, yeah.
Like, how long do you think you'd be able to survive?
Well, that, you know, it's so subjective.
Because it depends on where you are,
yeah,
the weather,
so many factors.
All of that.
Yeah.
How do you become, and I should say doctor, Jason Hunt, you're a PhD.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, doctor, if I ever get a PhD, anybody that calls my name better put doctor in front of it. I don't care if they are calling my lunch order. You better put doctor in front of it.
You can call me Jason.
Okay, Jason. Now, Jason does have a book, and it is The Gospel of Survival by Dr. Jason Hunt. This is your book. Where can you get the book?
You can get it on Amazon. That's probably the most convenient
place. Most convenient way?
Website, many booksellers.
I mean, because this is, for me, so exciting. I mean, there's so much information in here. Even about, like, if you're out somewhere, you know, the main thing, I think people want water, but it's never smart to see water and just start guzzling
Absolutely.
In your mouth.
No.
You'll kill yourself that way.
You can definitely make yourself sick and definitely dehydrate yourself in the short term.
So it's because if you drink bad water, then you start vomiting. That leads to dehydration and then you're dead.
Yeah, the stomach cramps and diarrhea are really the worst part of that. So absolutely.
Okay, so let's just begin here. Jason Hunt, a survivalist. Never have I ever really thought about it. I was telling you that my son had a teacher who, like, was hardcore survivalist. He had a bunker built into the ground, concrete. It had vents. It was stocked with food for enough for 3 years, and he could close himself in there. But when you say survival, people get scared.
Right.
What should we think of when we think of survival? And why should we think of it at all?
Well, survival, if you look it up in the dictionary, it doesn't necessarily mean life or death only. It means having great difficulty doing any task. So we have people that have great difficulty driving, have great difficulty making a fire in the backyard. There are all sorts of things we struggle to do. Therefore, we are just surviving, doing all we can to get by in that thing. Versus self-reliance. Self-reliance is having confidence within ourselves to be able to provide. So we want to move from survival to self-reliance. And really, it's just confidence. So having confidence in your ability while you're in a wilderness environment during a crisis or emergency. So while I'm not a bunker-dwelling survivalist, you know, I believe in training people up to be confident in their skills and abilities, and it really boils down to skills, knowledge, resources. Gain some basic skills, learn the knowledge that you have to do, and then to manage those resources. So those kind of all play together pretty well.
I have to tell you, when it really, I don't know, just over the last few years, it has just been sitting in my head. Mm-hmm. And I thought, okay, Lord, what am I supposed to do with this, right? Because it's just been sitting in my head. First, it was an elderly couple who, you know, they had retired and life was good and they were just traveling. And I don't know what happened, but in their travels together, they got turned around.
Mm-hmm.
They got lost. Then, while they were lost, never expected it to happen, out of nowhere, inclement weather came.
Right.
Then they were really stuck. Mm-hmm. So they were stuck for days.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't know what to do. Not their fault. Mm-hmm. No blame there.
Mm-hmm.
The husband was not in the best shape, But again, no water, no food, nothing, the bare necessities that they needed. He passed away.
Yeah.
And just by the sheer grace of God, the woman was found. And I always wonder, if they knew more, could they have done better? You know, would there have been a different outcome? There's no way to know.
Right.
But I always thought that. Mm-hmm. Like, what could they could have done? Like, I wonder, well, taking a tire out, maybe if they had a spare tire, if you would have lit that and the smoke went up, could somebody have seen it? I don't know, just different things like that.
And that's the big thing we get into in survival is the what if game. What if I did this? What if I did that? And there's reactive survival, and then there's active for proactive survival. So pre-planning is a big thing. We know if we're going to go take a road trip, what do? We're going to look at the route. We're going to prepare the car, pack appropriately, we hope. Part of that should be that last-ditch emergency scenario.
How many people do that, though, Jason? Seriously.
Very few.
I have never done it.
Yeah.
And I've done 800 news stories on why you should do it.
Yeah.
I've never done it.
And see, that just comes down to, that's safety, number one, because, you know, I'm a first responder as well, so.
Thank you, by the way, for that.
Thank you. Part of doing first response, if I can't respond appropriately or take care of myself, how am I going to help anybody else? Well, I have four kids. You know, I have to take care of my family. So if I'm going on a road trip, I have to think of everyone in the car. So that kind of falls on me to pre-plan and make sure that I have the basic necessities for those worst-case scenarios. If we go off-road for whatever reason, if the weather's inclement, there's so many things we could what-if ourselves, you know, for days on that. But having basic skills, a way to make fire, a way to purify water, or even carry some water with you, a way to stay warm, those three things alone will go make you last days. Food is actually the last resort. That's the last thing we need to worry about.
Really?
Well, you could. How many of us need to lose weight?
Well, let's not go there.
Right? Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So I can probably live off what I have for about a month or so, I think.
So food, it's often high on our priority list, but it's actually the last thing we need because that's the one thing we can go the longest without. But water, we know we need that really right away. Any more than 3 days without water, you're suffering severe mental incapacity. You're not going to be able to function properly, especially if you're going to be using tools to affect your survival needs, such as staying warm or building a fire or shelter or whatever. So you absolutely need to think of having water and just take a way to stay warm with you. Extra wool blankets, a couple 9-hour candles that you can put in your car. You can create an entire, we call it a small shelter within your vehicle, to raise that temperature as much as, you know, 10, 15 degrees.
You actually said that I can take something, there's something I can use in my vehicle?
Absolutely. So let's say that we are facing inclement weather. We are in the wintertime, and a few weeks ago, it was brutally cold here.
And here, we're not talking about up in the mountains or something. Mm-hmm. When we had that weather that was colder than we'd had it in 40 years, it went from 60 down to like 18 in less than 24 hours.
Yes. And in those situations, if you simply have a sheet of plastic, a candle, a blanket, and some water, you're going to be able to prolong your life. So you could set that sheet of plastic up and take that larger vehicle space and make it smaller. So between the front and back seat, you hang the plastic up. Now you've minimized the shelter space. Light the candle, crack the window so you have air movement. You can, that candle sitting in the floorboard or somewhere safe to where it's not going to tip over will begin to heat the car. You don't have to rely on the heater necessarily. Obviously, we're going to use that if it's available, but there are times it's not available.
Especially if you run out of gas and the car doesn't run.
Exactly. But you could light that candle and you could melt snow, or at least you have access to water. Hopefully, you pre-planned. You have some water bottles in your car, maybe a Snickers bar in the glove box. And that's all you need. You're going to be able to go days by doing that, days longer than trying to get out and just hoof it, survive on your own, especially in an unknown area.
I also have wondered, especially lately, and I guess I think about all these things because I'm older. When you're younger, nothing can stop you. You know, you're invincible and you can survive anything. But I thought about the people December 10th whose homes were just literally wiped away because of a tornado. Yeah. And then a few months later, here comes the water. And the water came through and took so many homes. And we're talking about people had nowhere to go. Mm-hmm. We're talking about there were some people who were living in the parks and living in cabins. Can you imagine what a difference it would be if in those situations of emergency, when it takes people 2, 3, 4 days, a couple of weeks to get you in a situation that's better, how much less stress you might have if you had some survival skills.
Yeah, absolutely. For example, we pre-plan for those events.
Pre-plan for those emergencies.
Yes.
So, I always say I'm going to.
Right. And it's something we just have to get more proactive about. So I know when I see Kevin Harnick come on and tell me there's a storm coming, right? What I do is I grab the storm kit, and it's just a tote big enough for my family, and it has the essentials, weather radio, and the standard things that we need. That goes with us. I just grab it and take it with us. It's got food for 3 days. I have enough water and water filters to purify water, and I have a tent. So if the house blows away, I at least have a tent with me in hand. I also have that same kit at a relative's house or at a friend's house or at the local fire station. So a lot of people don't think of that. You can use your relatives' homes or garages or spare spaces as resources. That storage garage you're paying for to store all the junk from 30 years ago, that can become your proverbial prepper bunker. Go and put some of those supplies, because it's highly unlikely for that storage thing to get hit where you lose all your supplies if it was all stored in your house. You don't want to put all your eggs in one basket.
Well, okay. Well, we certainly have heard that saying before. So I'm thinking about this. So if I'm going to have a tent, if I'm going to have, like, they have those silver blankets that are supposed, do they work?
Absolutely. They
okay.
do work.
They look like aluminum foil or something, but they're not, they don't tear easily.
Right.
But they're supposed to hold your heat in.
A reusable Mylar space blanket.
Right. And so putting together numerous of these, it's going to cost a little bit. So for some people, it may take you a little time to put several together. So you need to start it at some point, like start it now, so you can go ahead and get numerous emergency packs.
Right. You can buy one of the Mylar survival blankets for 50 cents.
Really?
Absolutely. You can go to our local discount stores around the city. You'll find them for 50 to 99 cents on sale all the time. You don't have to get the big elaborate one. Start small. It fits in your pocket. You can carry it with you if you needed to, throw it in your backpack. But that's where to start. You need a cover. So the clothes on your back, make sure you dress appropriately. How many people are out in t-shirts and shorts today? I'm driving in, I see people wearing t-shirts and shorts. It's getting cold outside. Dress in 3 layers, dress appropriately. That's number one. Number two would be that Mylar space blanket. Have a cutting tool, something to cut you out, to sharpen a stick, to make a tent stake, to cut the cordage that you have, which brings us to cordage. You need some cordage, string, rope, something to tie up that tarp shelter. Maybe you need to wrap it around you and tie a knot in it or whatever the case may be. Maybe you got to replace a bootlace or a shoelace. So a way to cut cordage. And then, of course, you need some way to make fire. A lighter is our go-to number one. It's easy to flick a bic with your thumb, right? But when it's extremely cold, they don't work. The pressure is off and you have to keep it in an armpit.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they don't work as well. So you have to rub them briskly between your hands, put it in your armpit, or do something to get the gas above 32 degrees. So a lot of people don't know that, and so they're wondering why their lighter quits working. It's not that it's bad, it just the gas is off, the pressure's off. So you gotta learn to rewarm it. But then beyond that, what if you lose it? What if you break it? It's nice to have skills to know how to still make fire with it, because there are many, But you can get something called a ferrocerium rod. It's the metal match people talk about. It's that metal rod that you scrape something hard against it and it throws 3,000 degree sparks off of it. That's reusable for many years. And it's weather, it doesn't matter what the weather is. So just a few tools like that, for around $25 to $35, you can get a five-piece survival kit, throw it in your car, and at least get have something to get you by for a couple days.
If there was anything at all that you would want to say to somebody when it comes to survival, because you teach classes. Let me get this, because we've been talking for a bit, and I know we'll have to stop in a little bit, but where do you teach classes, and how can we come learn?
So we have a farm, a family farm in Henry County, Kentucky, out about 15 minutes past Eminence. And we've got a 120-acre campus, and we teach a variety of classes there throughout the year. And what's unique about my method of survival, it's all biblically based. So I take you in Genesis chapter 3, and where it says God taught Adam and Eve to make clothing of animal skins. Well, that word make doesn't just mean poof, voila, there they are. It means to fully transmit the entire idea and concept for teaching related to making. So animal ID, harvest, how to tan the hides, how to sew them together, how to make rock knives. You're
that
talking.
That sounds hard.
That's hard. But remember, we're talking the book of Genesis, right?
Yes, sir.
So God wants us to know skills because he taught them to Adam and Eve as a tool to survive or endure apart from his presence. And that's the key thing. We have to survive because a lot of us don't want to walk near to God anymore, and it's going to take those skills to draw us closer to him. So I think there's a God-ordained purpose in learning them. But in the modern age, we don't have to rely on rubbing two sticks together to make fire anymore. So I like to teach what I call the 80-20 principle as relates to learning these skills. I'll teach you the 20% of skills you're actually going to need to overcome 80% of the problems you're ever going to face. So we offer a basic, intermediate, and advanced class. And something that we've done unique for your listeners and the viewers is we have 50% off all of our online classes. We offer wilderness.
Oh, so you have online classes too?
We have online and on-site, yeah. So we offer wilderness survival, winter survival, first aid, and urban survival. We actually came down here in Louisville. We went out to Cleveland, Ohio, and we went out and did it all. We kind of show everybody how you really do the stuff. I did a bug out. I walked 17 miles out of town and showed them it's not fun, especially when you're old, fat, gray, and out of shape, right?
So, well, you are none of those.
But that's those are some of the things that we did. And we offer 50% off. So if they just enter the code WAVE3, it's going to get them 50% off any class. And then if they need survival gear, we manufacture all of our own equipment. So the bags and things like that we make right in Henry County. And they'll get 20% off any gear that we offer with that code WAVE3. So we really want to invest in people so we remove that financial barrier for learning skills.
Well, that is nice because sometimes in life, finances may be right. The biggest burden that we have. Mm-hmm. If you were just to give the 1, 2, 3s of, look, you know, this is important, you know, don't think it's something crazy, this whole mm-hmm. survival. What would you tell them? The 1, 2, 3s of this is important.
Well, survival is important skills specifically because it's simply safety. We care about our loved ones and our family. So we have to think ahead for those crisis and emergency situations. And what is the plan? You know, a lot of us, firefighters, we think of where does the family rendezvous in case of a fire? Same thing with survival. If there is a storm coming, where is the family rendezvous? So it's safety number one. Then the basic necessities, fire, water, or a way to stay warm, you know, instead of fire necessarily. And then some sort of shelter. Those three priorities are the key to life, right? And then last, food. We need some snacks, especially if we got young ones, especially if we have elderly, and then we can't forget personal medications, pets, things like that. All of that plays into those basic survival plans. And with those three things on your mind, you can develop a wonderful survival plan that'll last you for weeks, if not maybe months, if done correctly.
I mean, hopefully you wouldn't need them.
Right.
But it always takes, I think, a little bit of that pressure off you. Mm-hmm. If you have them. Like for me, if I'm by myself at night and I know I have to walk to my car, I've been trained in that. Now, I don't want anything to happen, but I know if I had to do something,
right,
at least I have an idea of what I'm supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
That means something. Education and learning and, like you said, being confident means something.
Right.
Again, what website do we go to?
Go to campcraftoutdoors.com. That's our website, campcraftoutdoors.com. And again, located in Henry County, Kentucky, not far.
All right. And the things that you have, any safety gear?
Any survival gear that is on our website, they'll get 20% off with the code WAVE3. And any online training class, and we have many available, they'll get 50% off with the code WAVE3.
We mentioned, because I know in water, that's a different, and I know if I'm out, don't just drink from a stream.
Right,
don't
that's
just,
key.
You can't do that. You mentioned water, like a water filter.
Yes.
Can you just use like paper towel or newspaper or
not
something?
Not nowadays.
Yeah.
There's so much toxic runoff in our water supplies. It's very difficult. We'd have to go far out in the hills of eastern Kentucky to be able to get away with something like that. Around here, no. There's just too many toxic things. There are ways to make natural water filters with grass, charcoal, and sand, but the average person needs training and a lot of practice to pull that off. Your best bet is to simply go to the store and spend that $20 on a Sawyer water filter, or if you want to invest in something more packable and more convenient that you could use every day, there's one called a Grail water filter. They have them at Quest Outdoors. They're a little more expensive, but they are so easy to use and they are fantastic. It's a global water filter. You can go anywhere on the planet, put any kind of water in it, and it's going to filter it and make it clean.
And that's one. Is there a question that I failed to ask you that you want to make sure that you share with folks? Because I had just so much in my mind and I may have forgotten some of it. Is there any question I failed to ask that you say, look, I really want people to know about this?
Well, the one thing that is most commonly asked is what do I need to have? What gear do I need? Because everybody gets caught up on gear because we always hear around here, a country boy can survive. Trust me, Dawn, I've been out with thousands of country boys in the woods, and not many are going to survive. Yes, they know how to hunt and fish, and that's wonderful, but it's the basics, the pre-planning, how to stay warm, how to keep your mind occupied, and how to be self-reliant that a lot of us struggle with. So it's not so much gear dependent. Get the skills, get the knowledge you need, and then focus on the resources or the gear, and then you can get by with five pieces. We train our guys at an instructor level. They have to go out for a week and they only get five items. That's it. And then the more advanced they get a knife and okay, have fun. They have to make food, you know, find food and build fire, make their shelter and stay out there for a week, 10 days. So you can progressively build up, but again, skills and knowledge enable that to happen.
Well, what are the five things you give them, though? I want to know what the five things are.
Okay, starting out, the five things, we give them a knife. Sometimes they'll opt for a saw. Then they get some string. We only give them 100 foot of cordage, any type they want, usually paracord. They get a water container of some sort. No filter, just a steel container. Then they get their space blanket. And it's usually a space blanket, and sometimes we'll give them some trash bags, and then we'll also give them a headlamp if they're really nice. If not, we'll take that away and give them something else.
Yeah.
So that fifth item is kind of a floater. So that's all they get.
All right. And are these things should those things be in our car? Or
yes.
Those are the things that should be in our house?
Both.
Wow.
Absolutely both. You want a small survival kit? You can get it pretty small in your car where it takes up minimal space. My car survival kit's pretty extensive, but I have a larger family, right? But my entire family's trained in all these skills, so they know that if they see a knife and a ferro rod and they see a couple space blankets, they got shelter and fire instantly, no problem. It's just, okay, where do we find water? Where do we source it? Let's sit and wait. So it doesn't take much. It really doesn't. The household kits, however, that's the big ones. Mm-hmm. You're going to be putting blankets in there, more food in there, maybe more substantial water filters, because you want to be comfortable. You're going to have weather radios, a communications device, phone chargers, things like that.
Right. Yeah, don't forget those. Okay, before I let you go, because we run out of time, I have always thought about putting a rain catcher out there. And then I thought, yikes, can you even drink rainwater today?
You can drink rainwater, absolutely. If here in the inner city, it's going to have a little more
pollutants in it.
Mm-hmm. You just need to filter it. That's it. And the simplest way to clean water, still boil it. Bring it to a boil.
Thought about that, yeah.
You know, bring it to a rolling boil, and you're good. It may not taste great, but if you can run it through any type of filtration device, you're set. That's all you got to do.
All right. Again, he's got a wonderful book, The Gospel of Survival, Jason Hunt, PhD, and also all kind of gear, classes if you want to learn how to survive. Your website one more time, please.
CampCraftOutdoors.com.
There you go. CampCraftOutdoors.com. Things I need to learn in life I didn't learn in school, and I certainly did not learn how to survive on my own when things go crazy, just with a knife and a little Mylar blanket. So hopefully you learned a lot. Jason, thank you.
Sure, my pleasure.
I appreciate you so much. If there's something you want to learn or something you want to know, please contact me and let me know. Talk to you next week. Things I need to learn in life I didn't learn in school. Thank you again, as always, for listening and watching.